Okay. Thanks. So, for those of you just calling in and say hi, I know you can still hear me. We are officially have started the call, and let me just do some homework or get some stuff out of the way here and then say hi. I'm going to answer your question, okay? So I want to welcome everybody to the October Power Agent call, and I want to welcome some of the new power agents. So the new power agents, this being your first call, I'm going to give you some instructions so you understand this. I want to welcome everybody that's called in from all over the world. I know some of you have called in on different time zones from different parts of the world, so thanks for making that happen. This is a live call. We are recording it. There's no delay. I have everybody muted right now, so right now I can't hear anybody, and you can't hear each other. You can only hear me. The reason why we do that is to make sure we have a good call. I'm going to tell you how you can unmute yourself, so that way you can ask me questions and we can have a conversation. Now, say hi. You are the first person I'm going to talk to in just a minute. And what I'd like you to do is hit star 6 on your keypad and just do it once. So hit the star button and then the 6 button. Just do that once. Do it now. Say hi, please. Say hi, you there?
Yes.
Okay, good. So now I can hear you. You and I can have a conversation. Everybody else can hear us, and everybody else is muted. Now, during the call, gang, when you want to ask me a question, that's what you'll have to do is you'll have to hit star 6 on your keypad in order for me to hear you. Now, before I start with say hi, because she asked a very important question, I also want to tell you, those of you that have a username and password, you should have, when you enrolled into the Power Agent program, you were given a username and password, and you'll go to the website, thepowerprogram.com, and on that website, under Classroom, there's a lot of material that will help you with scripts and dialogues and checklists, and say, hi, I'm going to reference that on this call now. For any of you that have lost your username, password, or you can't find it in your email, on the website, there's a way to retrieve that information. You just say, you click on a link that says forgot password, or you can email us and we'll get it to you. All right. With that said, let's start the call. And so say hi. You had just asked me in calling for Sal by Owners what the dialogue should be, yes?
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to role play it with you real quick. And by the way, I have, I do want you to know for everybody else that Melody sent me an email, and Lori Lay and Jay. So a bunch of you emailed me questions, Derek, and I'm going to address your questions also. But we're going to start with say hi. Now, for those of you that this is your first call, part of my objective here is to give you some one-on-one coaching with other people listening in. So this is your opportunity to ask me a question. We also have a magazine. Now, this is very important. On the Power Program website, every month there's a magazine, but you have to be logged in to see it. It's on the home page. There's some really awesome, great things in that magazine. I usually start off this call talking about the magazine, but because so many of you have emailed me questions and there are so many great questions, I don't want to run out of time, so I'm going to start with people's questions, and then if I have time, I'll talk about the magazine. So Say Hi's question to me, and Say Hi's from Maryland. Say Hi, what company are you with?
Long & Foster.
Long & Foster, yeah, it's a great company. Let me tell you, as far as calling the FSBOs, two things. Number one, say hi. When you go to the website, thepowerprogram.com, and you log in with your username and password, there's an actual script for calling FSBOs under the tab Classroom. Okay, that's number one.
Oh.
All right, but let me demonstrate it for you right now. So say hi. I'm going to ask you to be a FSBO, and I'm going to call you. Can you do that?
Yeah, okay, I'll try.
All right, good. I'm sure you'll do fine. So I'll call and ring. You answer the phone. Go ahead, say hello.
Hello?
Yes, hi. I'm calling about the house for sale.
Okay.
Yes,
what do you want to know about it?
Is it still available?
Yes, it is still available.
Well, hi, ma'am. My name's Daryl Davis. I'm with Long & Foster Real Estate, and the reason why I called you is I noticed your ad in the paper, and I was wondering, are you working with agents in the sale of your property?
No, I want to sell it myself.
I see. Okay. Well, I understand. Well, I'm looking at a copy of the ad, and the house sounds really nice here. It's a four-bedroom, two-bath colonial. Are all the bedrooms on the upper floor, on the second floor?
One downstairs.
One downstairs. Okay, great. And I'm looking at the lot. Do you have the? It doesn't say what the lot size is. Could I ask you what the lot size is?
15,000?
15,000 square feet. Okay, well, that's a good-sized property. And anyway, so let me stop the role play. Let me give you an idea, say hi, what I'm doing here, okay? Let me break down the beginning part of the call. And by the way, gang, for those of you listening in, let me just say something about calling FSBOs, because I got a lot of questions about FSBOs and expireds this month. Right now, in the month of October, I believe it's really important that you focus on building listing inventory going into November, and here's why. Because when we hit the month of the last week of November going into December, any buyer that comes out into the market has got to be serious. And so the listings that come out on the market that are priced correctly, you know, they have a better chance. Most homeowners kind of pull back selling their house during the colder months or the holiday months. So this is a great time for people to put their house on the market because they may get less showings, but they're going to get better quality buyers coming through. And there's going to be a better chance of them selling the property because they're dealing with the serious buyer. As a matter of fact, on the Power Program website, under Classroom, there is a flyer or a link that says reasons to list during the holidays. And that's a great visual to use on a listing appointment. It's a great visual to use as a drop-off item or a mailing piece or a call to action in your ads. So, but let me go back to you, say hi. So let me talk a little bit about the dialogue that I just did. So the first part was ring, ring. You said hello, and I said, hi, I'm calling about the house for sale. And you said yes. And then I asked, is the house still available? Now, the reason why you start off with those two things is this, say hi. First of all, when I say, hi, I'm calling about the house for sale, and you said yes, I now know that I'm talking to the homeowner. I'm talking to the decision maker, right? So the first thing is, hi, I'm calling about the house for sale. If you weren't the decision maker, you would have said, hold on a second, and then you would give the phone to whoever the owner is. Somebody's calling about the house. Okay. So I'm calling about the house for sale, and then you say yes. Is the house still available? You say yes, it is. Then I identify myself. Well, hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. Now, the reason why you want to ask the question, say hi, is the house still available before you identify yourself as a realtor is because a lot of homeowners, they've learned that how they can get rid of an agent is when the agent identifies himself, they would say the house is already sold or we have somebody interested. So by you going by you asking, is the house still available, and they say yes, they now can't use that objection on you. Are you with me on this?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, good. Now, when I ask, is the house, hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is I was wondering, are you working with agents in the sale of your property? You said, no, you're trying to do it on your own. Here's what I did. I ignored it. I didn't address it. I didn't deal with it. All I simply did was, well, I'm looking at a copy of the ad, and then I started to talk about the ad. Now, say hi. This part of the dialogue, what you want to do is you want to start asking questions, and you can put questions into two categories. The first set of questions are asking about the house. And when you have a copy of the ad, those are the best questions because homeowners like to talk about their house. It's almost like a parent talking about their child. And what's really kind of funny, say hi, is that when you start to talk about the house, they actually almost start to sell you on how great their house is. It's really kind of funny because the more they try and sell you, the more they're building rapport with you, and they're causing that to happen in the conversation. In other words, you're not building rapport. They're trying to build rapport with you. So they'll start to say, well, yes, we have one bedroom downstairs and the three are upstairs. And in a real FSBO call, what happens, say hi, is sometimes they'll be saying stuff like, Yeah, and the upstairs bedroom is a master bedroom and has a walk-in closet. And then you'll respond, oh, that sounds lovely. And the lot size, what's the lot size? 15,000 square feet. And then they might say stuff like, you know, we have a nice garden. We spent about $5,000 when we moved in to have the garden redone. So you're going to start with questions that deal with the house as if you were a buyer, like any other buyer would ask questions about the house. And you want to do as many of those as you can think of. You know, asking about, is the basement finished? How old is the roof? Have you done any major improvements? One of the favorite questions that we discovered, and I discovered this by accident, was asking this question. What do you think is the most appealing feature to your house that you think a buyer would really like? What do you think the best feature is that buyers think are awesome about your house? And when they do that, they really just start to run with that question and giving the answer. So, say hi. What you want to do is ask at least a half a dozen to a dozen questions about the house that they live in, that they're trying to sell. Then the second group of questions that you want to move into is asking about where they're moving to. So, you know, is there a time frame when you want to make this move by? Are you staying locally? You're moving out of state? Have you looked at any houses there yet? Why are you picking that area? Now, these questions about where they're moving to, you definitely don't want to ask those too soon, because some people will get defensive because they'll think you're too intrusive. It's none of your business. But that's why if you ask the first set of questions about their current home, referencing the ad, how many bedrooms, how many baths, what's the style, those will break down the barrier and you'll build rapport with the people, and it'll be easier for them to be honest with you as to why they're selling. Now, there's something else I want to say hi about this, is that one of the biggest mistakes that agents make in calling for sale by owners is they think the longer the homeowner stays on the phone with them, the more upset that the homeowner gets. And the opposite is true. When you call a FSBO, the first 60 seconds is the hardest. Now, those of you that have come to my seminars, you heard me talk about the 60-second hump, and I think it's worth repeating. That most homeowners, they have their own script and dialogue, if you will, on how to get rid of a realtor on the telephone. They've had a bunch of realtors call them before. Most realtors don't last the first 60 seconds. So that homeowner has practiced, drilled, and rehearsed that 60 seconds on a whole bunch of other agents before you've even called. So they're really good at being tough and nasty on the first 60 seconds. But what happens is after that 60 seconds, they don't have any more dialogue or nastiness in them. So what happens is that the real homeowner, the real authentic homeowner shows up after that 60-second hump. So, say hi. What you want to do is not make the call be a quick call, but you actually want to make it a long call. That the more you keep them on the phone, the more questions you ask, the more rapport you're building, which means your odds will increase in getting in the door. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, the last thing that I want to tell you about getting in the door is when you feel that they're ready, after you've asked the questions about the current house, you ask them about where they're moving to, then you'll do some kind of variation like this, which would sound like, well, say hi, let me ask you, would you be offended if I just came by to see your house? Which is a really great question, because that, you know, most homeowners are not going to say, yes, I'd be very offended to come if you came over to see the house. So that question, would you be offended if I just came by to see the house, is how you would ask for the appointment. Another way of asking for the appointment is, if I had a buyer who was willing to pay your price and pay my commission, would you sell it to that person? So if I had a buyer who's willing to pay you your price and pay my commission, would you sell your house to that buyer? Well, it is possible in some cases to do that, but I first need to see your house. Let's see, what else do I want to mention? The other thing that you might say in the dialogue to say hi is if they really push you back, say, well, you don't want a list, that's why we're doing it on our own, you'd say, well, that's fine, I understand that, and I'm not coming over because I want you to list the house. I just want to come over and see what you have and see how I can help you. You've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. You know, you are letting complete strangers come into your house, and quite frankly, you don't even know if they could afford the house if it were free. Where I'm licensed by the state of Maryland, so I'm probably the safest appointment you can give, not to mention the fact that as an agent, I could have 2, 3, 4 potential buyers who could be interested in the house, so by letting me in is like letting 4 buyers in on one showing. I promise you, I understand you want to try and do this on your own. I'm not going to arm twist you or put a gun to your head or have you do anything you don't want to do. I just want to see your house and see how I can help you. Once again, like I said, you got nothing to lose, but there's so much to possibly gain from us meeting. So that's the general gist of how you would get in the door. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Say hi.
Very much.
Did this help you on?
Yes.
All right,
you
good.
You will help me.
What's that?
Thank you.
What did you say, that last part? It did help you?
Well, yeah, it will help me.
Okay, good. Now,
thank you.
You're so welcome. Say hi. Now, just to remind you, that dialogue that I did is on the Power Program website. You got to log in to get it.
Okay.
And also, this recording, I'm recording this call, so this dialogue that I just did with you, I'll be posted on the website, too, by Monday or Tuesday of next week, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. All right, so... if you want to mute yourself, say hi, you just hit *6 again, and that will put you back on mute.
Okay.
All right, great. Now, there is Laura Lay, your question, Laura Lay Carter, are you on the call? And if you are, can you hit *6 on your phone, and that'll unmute you?
I'm on.
And if you unmute yourself, then you can just start talking to me. Try it. All right, so I'm going to answer her question. She must not be on the call or hasn't figured out the phone there. So here's what Laurel Lay Carter, are you there? All right, here is her question. She said, Hi, Daryl. My question is to do with staying focused. I'm working a part-time job to make ends meet, and I'm a single mom. Plus trying to build a real estate business. I feel like I'm in quicksand and getting nowhere. And the part-time job doesn't pay much. A lot of it probably boils down to keeping the fear at bay and trusting that this business works and I'll be able to pay my bills. On the days I'm clear thinking and not so distracted by fear, I can do so much more I can be so much more productive and focused. Maybe that's the key. Am I the only agent feeling like this? Well, first of all, Laura Lay, you're not. And that's why I wanted to address and read your whole email, because I know that there's people on this call, whether you're part-time or not, sometimes they feel that way, that, you know, is this working out? Or they feel frustrated and fear starts to consume them. First of all, there's two things that I want to say. As a part-time agent, actually, let me talk about the fear because I don't want to forget that. You know, one of the reasons why working out or trying to lose weight doesn't work for a lot of us is because we start doing the right activities, whether it's eating healthy, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's just walking, whatever it is, and because we don't see the results quick enough or right away, we get frustrated and we think that it's not working, so we give up. Now, that's one of the reasons. Obviously, when it comes to weight management, there's a lot of other things at play. But I know any of us that have tried to get healthier in our lives, we don't see the results quick enough, so then we stop doing the activities. The same thing is true in sales, especially in sales. Whether it's real estate or any kind of sales, as long as you're doing the right activities, you have to just trust that eventually it's going to pay off. Not just trust it, but you have to believe it. You know, when a farmer has a farm and he's planting seeds for any kind of crop, whether it's corn or pumpkins or whatever it is, you know, that farmer doesn't go out to his farm, plant the seeds, and then the next day get upset that the crop has sprung up yet. He plants or she plants those seeds knowing without question that eventually, over a period of time, that those seeds are going to bear its crop. So it has an unshakable belief, not even a belief, it's like a fact that just hasn't happened yet, that crop is going to appear. we have to take that same kind of attitude to our business. That every time that you prospect, every time that you make calls, every time you knock on doors, every time you network with other people, you have to be like the farmer, knowing factually that eventually your crop is going to come up. Because it's when you start to question yourself, then you stop doing the right activities, you stop cultivating your business, and then, of course, that you bear no fruit. So that's number one. Number two is, for the part-timers, you cannot do listings and sales part-time and have another job. The only what I have learned is the best model for any part-time agent is to not work with buyers at all and just build listing inventory. That is the only way to have financial success as a part-time realtor and work in some other job. When you have a bunch of listings, I think a lot of you on this call have heard me talk about the analogy of the shoe store. That if you have, I'm going to do it real quick in case somebody hasn't heard me share this. If you wanted to sell shoes for a living, you can either go get a store, get shoes, advertise your store, and have buyers come to your store to buy your shoes. Or you can find somebody who wants to buy a pair of shoes, stick them in your car, and drive them from shoe store to shoe store to shoe store. Now, obviously, that model doesn't work because if you're not in the car driving the buyer to the stores, you're not selling anything. But if you had a store with shoes in it, you can go on vacation to Aruba and still have your employees show your shoes to the customers, and you can still make money. Well, the analogy here is if you're a listing agent and you've got a bunch of listings, that's your inventory. You can be going to your part-time job, and the other agents who are showing your listings are like your employees trying to sell your shoes. That is the only way for a part-time agent to make money. Now, what starts to happen is as you start to have listings sell and you start having money coming in, now you can maybe start to look at breaking away from the part-time job and going full-time into real estate if that's what you want. Okay. So, Laura Lay, first of all, I don't know if I'm saying your name right. If I'm not, I apologize. I hope that helped you, and I hope that helped everybody else. Now, Melody Leonard, are you on the call from Long Realty in Arizona, or is it Ralph? But I'm not sure who sent me the email. I think it was Melody. If you're on the call, hon, here's what you do so I can hear you. Hit *6 on your keypad. Just do it once, and it may take a second for it to work, and then you can talk to me. Are you there?
I'm there, Daryl.
Hi, Melody. How are you?
Great. How are you today?
I'm doing super. So you asked me a bunch of questions, so I'm going to burn through them pretty quick here, but I think we can cover all the points, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to first read your email so everybody can hear what your questions were. Good morning, Daryl. It was awesome to meet you in Phoenix last month. You're a kick. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. We will join you on the call today. We have a few questions. Last week, I called expireds, and I spoke with three, and the next day, one called me back after checking us out on our website, was impressed, made an appointment to meet at their house, and then the next day, we met and listed the home. So congratulations, Melody. One out of three in your first week. This week, you've called three. You haven't gotten in the door yet. Is that right?
Correct.
Now, Melody, were you on the call when I at the very beginning of the call when I went through the dialogue and call in FSBOs?
Yes, I loved it. It was very helpful.
All right, so I think we kind of nailed that first question, yes? Which is, well, actually, you didn't ask me a question. You called the three. You haven't gotten in the doors. So hopefully that dialogue will help you and get better results in making the calls, okay?
Okay.
All right. Do you have any questions about the dialogue, Melody, or no?
No, I thought it was really good. I've been looking over your information, and this was just a little bit more that filled in some of the blanks and gave some other perspective to it. So I really appreciate that.
All right, awesome. All right, now let's actually go to your four questions here. Number one, I've been calling expired starting about 9:30 in the morning. They're older folks in a 45-plus community. Several times they tell me that I'm their eighth call about this, and we all sounded about the same. What is the best way to overcome that? What you do now is you just giggle, laugh, and say, oh, I'm sorry, and you would just get back to the script, well, I saw a picture of your home and it looks really nice, and I'm surprised it didn't sell. Why do you think that is? First of all, Melody, that's exactly what you should do. When you're calling FSBOs or expireds and they say something in the very beginning of the call, well, you know, you're the eighth agent that's called me, or, you know, we're really not interested and you all sound the same, you know, for you to giggle and say, yeah, I'm sorry about that, but let me ask you this. And that let me ask you this is a segue for you to get back on track with the dialogue and what you're trying to accomplish. So I think you're doing exactly what you should be doing. So I think that was, I was actually happy to hear that that's how you're handling that. Because,
thank you.
Yeah, because when people say, you know, all you realtors are the same and you're the 10th realtor that called, that doesn't mean anything. The very, when you're calling FSBOs and expireds, there's, here's how I like to say it, Melody, is that when you're, if Chef Ramsay was going to teach me how to make any kind of recipe, any kind of dish that he has, you know, he's going to have a list of ingredients, and then there's a way to put the ingredients together. When it comes to calling FSBOs and expireds, the dialogue that I have on the website for you and that I demonstrate early on this call, the very beginning part is very important that you don't deviate from it. You know, hi, I'm calling about the house for sale. Is it still available? Hi, this is Daryl Davis of Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is wondering, you're working with agents to sell your property. Oh, so you are trying to do it on your own. Let me just ask you this. I'm looking at a copy of the ad. And that whole first part, no matter what they say, you stay on course with that dialogue, and you're going to be just fine. Okay, so, and that's what you're doing, which is perfect. Now, number two, you asked me, when is the best time for you to actually call people when they're home or to leave messages? I personally, Melody, when I call FSBOs and expireds, I prefer to call after dinner time. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday nights, those were the nights that I called. If you happen to be calling a gated community or an adult community where there's a better chance that they may be home during the day because they're retired, well, that's fine. That's perfect. If you have those types of calls. But I always used to call after dinner time, so that way I make sure both people are home, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. Number three is I'm not getting any callbacks from voice messages that I leave, which is probably normal. Could I mention for them to check us out on the website to see some home selling tips and 10 reasons why your home should be on the market now? So you're asking me, Melody, should you leave a message that just directs people to your website for some kind of free report, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, there's two ways to go with that. So, first of all, I've never heard that before, and I think that may not be a bad idea, that if you, whenever you get any kind of voicemail, that you direct people to your site where they can download something for free. Now, a couple of good things about that is that when they go to the site, you want to capture their name and telephone number or email address, so they have to fill out a very simple form to get this free report. As a matter of fact, I did that this morning. I got an email about marketing on the internet, a free report with tips on it, but I had to put my name and address and email. So I don't think that's a bad idea. So I think you should try that and see how that works. The dialogue that I do, though, for everybody that doesn't have that already set up on their website, here is what I've taught in my live training class. And we get a lot of people calling back on the dialogue that I'm now going to demonstrate for you. Okay, Melody?
Okay.
So the dialogue goes, and I'm almost positive this is also on the website under the classroom section of the powerprogram.com site. But anyway, yes, hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. I noticed your ad in the paper. I have some important information about your property. As a matter of fact, I might even have somebody who could be interested. Could you please give me a call back as soon as possible? Now, that dialogue, Melody, is kind of a teaser. When I say I have some important information about your property and about its selling, they're going to want to call back and find out what's that important information. And if that doesn't catch their attention, for me to say I could even possibly have somebody who would be interested in the property, please call me back, that's a second reason. So I'm giving them two teasers as to why they should call me back. Now, the important information that I have about their house is really my marketing plan to sell their home. When they call me back, though, I'm not going to talk about my marketing plan and how to sell the home. That's got to be the face-to-face meeting that I come over to their house, which, by the way, say hi. You're still on the call. You don't have to unmute yourself. I just want to say something. When you're calling FSBOs and expireds, and by the way, this is for everybody, your objective is to get in the door and see the house. You do not discuss commission, length of listing, your marketing plan, what you expect from a seller. If a homeowner thinks that you're coming over to list their house, they're not going to let you in the door. The purpose of calling them and what you want to convey to them is exactly what I'm about to say. I just want to come over, see your house, and see how I can help you. Now, I've referenced a couple of times on the whether it's the voicemail or on the or if I'm talking to the homeowner, that I could possibly have somebody interested. I'm not saying that I definitely do, and you don't want to set up an appointment to preview, to show. You want to set up an appointment to have a conversation to see how you can help them. That conversation is basically your listing presentation that you've been trained to do when you're face-to-face with a homeowner. Now, what I found, Melody, is when you leave that voicemail, hi, I'm calling about your house for sale. I see that it's for sale, and I have some important information actually about that. I could even have somebody that would be interested. Could you please call me back as soon as possible? Melody, none of my students have had homeowners call back on that message saying, yeah, hi, this is Daryl. I'm returning your call. What important information do you have? They never, ever, over all the years that I've been teaching this dialogue, has that ever happened. When they call you back, it usually sounds something like this. Yeah, hi, Melody, this is Daryl. You called and left a message about my house for sale. That's all they say. And then you say, yeah, thanks for calling me back. I'm sorry I called so many people today. Could you just tell me which house it is? They'll say, well, it was advertised today. It's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath colonial. Oh, yes, let me just get a copy of that ad. I see it here. And then you go back onto the dialogue that I did earlier, which is to talk about their house. How many, how big are the bedrooms? How big is the property? Is there a finished basement, et cetera, et cetera? Did that answer the question for you, Melody?
Yep, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, any questions about that, hon?
No,
Okay,
I'll
good.
I'll try it.
Okay, great. Let's see, number three, check on the website. No, we just did that. Number four, on the dot board. Your question is, for those of you who don't know what the dot board is, a copy of the dot board is on the website, on the Power Program website. And It's a small PDF file. It's only 8.5 by 11. I like the dot boards that are the size of those poster boards that you buy at the stationery. So for those of you that go to the website, under classroom, you'll see dot board. That when that opens up, I really like it on a on the size of the poster board. So you hang it up, it's very big, okay? And Melody's question is the column that says listings. Is that the total of listings that you currently have, or is it just the listings for the month? Is that your question, Melody?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so what those dots are representative of just how many listings that you got that month. When it goes into contract, or it sells, or it's taken off the market, you don't take the dot down, you just leave it up. So every time you go on a listing appointment and you get a listing, you put the dot up. And that acknowledges yourself for the accomplishment of getting the dot. Now, if you want to track how many listings you currently have listed with you, that would be a totally different chart, and that's called the listing inventory chart. And that's kind of like one of those graphs that looks like a stock market, you know, chart with pricing. On the left side, from top to bottom, is the number of listings you have, and at the bottom of the chart, from left to right, is the months. And so at the end of each month, you would just put a dot as to how many current listings you have that are not in contract. And what you want to do is you want to make sure that that listing inventory graph is going on an upswing versus a downswing. The listing inventory chart is very powerful, too. Okay?
Okay, got it.
All right, any other questions, Melody, about what we just talked about, or did I cover it all for you?
You got it all. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Was that helpful?
It was very helpful.
All right, awesome. Okay. Now, Derek Jackson, are you on the call? Derek, if you are, you'll have to hit *6 on your keypad one time, and there might be a delay, and once you do that, you can just start trying to talk.
Hi, Derek, I'm here.
Hey, Derek, how are you?
Good, and yourself?
I'm very good. So, Derek, you are, where are you located, man?
I'm in Naperville, Illinois, which is a suburb right outside of Chicago.
All right, great. And I know you've been on the call on a regular basis, and I appreciate that, and you're always good to email me questions. By the way, any of the new power agents on this call, that's what you want to try and do is if you email me your questions ahead of time, I'll be much better prepared, and your question will definitely get answered. So, now, Derek, you had a bunch of questions here, kind of like Melody, which was awesome for both of you. Number one is I need to help get more listings. You have 15 active listings right now. You're hitting a wall. And it seems like you've been going on, you've gone on 3 to 10 listing appointments for the past, what is it? How many listing appointments have you gone on? In the last month?
Somewhere like 3 to, in the last month, somewhere like 3 a week. So that's what, like 12? At least 12.
And you haven't gotten any out of those 12?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the, you know, without me actually hearing your dialogue, it's really kind of hard to say what the problem is. But if you've gone on that many listings and you haven't gotten the listing, here's what I do know. It is something you're doing or not doing. Like, it is your fault. I'm only saying that not to beat you up, but because, you know, sometimes... it could be just the draw of the luck or luck of the draw, however that expression goes. But to go on that many listings, yeah, there's something that you're probably doing or not doing. What is there a common objection you keep getting when you after you've gone there?
Combination of things that mean that they have a brother or a mother or a friend, sister, cousin that they want to work with, and I guess that I haven't found a way to get around. You know, using me as opposed to, you know, I think you had suggested the fire a friend objection handling technique, and that, I don't know why, but I guess that doesn't resonate sometimes with people.
Okay. So you're getting the common. So correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to put words in your ear, Derek. I just want to help you. So what I think I heard you saying, which, by the way, it's a little hard to hear you, so if you can just talk a little louder, but what I think I heard you say was that one of the most common objections you're getting is that we have a friend in the business, and so they're going to talk to them. Is that right?
Yeah, that, or, I mean, I've mentioned that I work with active buyers that are looking in the area, and, I mean, I go through my listing presentation as far as what I do specifically beyond that, so... to help people, you know, get the most amount of exposure as possible, and I don't know why, but it's just not resonating.
Okay.
That's the point. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of things to look at. So again, it's a little hard to troubleshoot without actually going through the whole appointment with you. But the first thing is you have to make sure the listing appointments you're actually getting on the telephone. By the way, are these FSBOs, expireds, or referrals?
Majority of them are expired.
Okay.
And some of them are fizzled.
Okay, good. Well, first of all, congratulations for focusing on those two. That's really awesome. And by the way, I'm going to backpedal a little bit of what I said about beating you up, saying that there's something definitely with you. Once in a while, we all get in ruts. I was watching the presidential debate and the vice president debate. I'm studying it more. I already know who I'm going to vote for, so I'm really just looking at it from a speaker standpoint. And, Obama, when he did his first debate, he really did pretty poorly, and he admitted to it. And when I watched him, I almost felt like like how sometimes I've done a seminar where I was just not on my game. You know, I just wasn't in the zone. There was no reason. It was just, man, it was weird. I was just off my game, and he was totally off his game. And that happens to all salespeople too. That you know, you can just have a dry spell that you're doing all the right activities. It's just not connecting. But what you want to make sure that you're not doing is that you created some kind of bad habit, and all you're doing is getting more entrenched in that bad habit. Like every time you go on the appointment, if you keep doing the
right.
same thing, right, you're going to create a bad habit for yourself. So you got to be careful of that. So here's a couple of things I want you to look at, Derek. Number one is, are the listing appointments that you're setting, and you don't have to answer, so this is just to troubleshoot and you think about it. Number one is, of these 12 appointments that you've gone on, you want to look at how you're setting the appointment up, meaning that when you're calling the FSBO and expired, if you're calling and just basically using, well, I could have a buyer for your house, and that's how you're getting into the appointment, then in the seller's mind, they're just letting you in to preview the house, and they're not committed to having a conversation with you on how you might be able to help them. So the problem could go all the way to the actual telephone call and how you're setting up the appointment. Does that make sense?
Right.
All right, so that's number one.
Yep.
Number two is, in the sake of the expired, you know, part of what you have to do is you've got to get clear about why they're selling. You know, that has to be real a focus for them and for you. A lot of expireds get discouraged. They had this next level that they're trying to accomplish. It didn't work out, so they get frustrated. So they may still let you in, but they're really not committed to selling like they used to be. So you got to make sure that that's up front. And keep in mind, you're not just selling a house for these people. You're actually helping them get to their next level in their life. So if you come from a place of more service, trying to help them get to the next level in their life, they're going to pick up that sincerity and that commitment that you have to their commitment, and that's going to help you get the appointment, get the listing. Number three is that the expired, they may have fallen out of love with realtors. So what you have to do is revalidate for them that they made the right decision. It just, they may have picked the wrong agent. It's kind of like, you know, if you ever go to a bad doctor, or you ever have a bad accountant, or you ever have a bad attorney, you don't not work with attorneys, accountants, and doctors anymore. You still see the value in a professional person giving you medical advice or professional when it comes to your taxes and so on. You just might have picked the wrong one. So don't discount the whole industry because you might have just worked with the wrong person. That's number two. Number four. So you may have to resell the expired on the real estate industry. With the FSBO, it's the same thing, but more so. With the FSBO, you got to show them that they're losing money trying to sell it on their own. You want to use the USA Today article that says homeowners selling on their own sell for 21.49% less than when they try and do it themselves. You know, when they say to you, well, we may have a friend in the business, they may be lying to you as a FSBO when they say that, and they're just trying to get you out the door. So when you're talking to a FSBO, the first thing you need to sell them on is the real estate industry, not you. And they have to see the value in listing with a realtor. Anyway, so those are a few things that I rattled off. Does any of those things maybe resonate for you, that for you to look at?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, good. All right, good.
Yeah, it does a lot.
All right, good. I'm glad. All right. Number two is, how often should you communicate with buyers and sellers once you've executed a contract? So you're in contract with some buyers or sellers, and you're wanting to know how often should you keep them informed of the progress of the sale. Is that right?
Right. Had a couple people I don't know if it was just, if it was me, or maybe just the fact that they're, you know, screwballs, but I mean, they complained about it. And I mean, it's more than once I wanted to, I guess, just ask about it to see if it is me, or, you know, if it's something I need to correct, or if it was just a screwball.
Well, here's a couple of
some
things.
Some people did complain that they weren't here enough.
Yeah, let me give you the theory first about a deal. When you put a deal together, a contract, you make the shift from being a salesperson to a therapist. Because when people are in contract, both buyers and sellers, they become, you know, emotionally disturbed. You know, the tensions are high, concerns about money and the inspection. And so when contracts are put together, you put your therapist hat on. there's a couple of suggestions that I have. Number one is let them know. You may want to make sure that they have access to your cell phone if you're not doing that, which I'm sure you are. Number two is if you have high maintenance people, you may need to tell them, listen, I deal with, because you've got 15 listings. For those of you that are top agents, one of the best ways that I've seen top agents manage their transactions is not to be available 24/7, but to actually tell the homeowner on Monday and Fridays from 9 to 11, I'm in my office, and that's when I take incoming calls to work with my clients. The rest of the days during the week, I'm focused on marketing and promoting and selling my clients' homes. So you may want to tell people on a designated day and time when they can get a hold of you. But my favorite idea for you, Derek, and I think for all of us, is that if you have some kind of autoresponder system, you can actually set up an automatic, so when you put a deal together, you have your autoresponder and whatever software or database management system you have, send out periodic emails, maybe every 10 days, that are generic in nature. So it might say, Dear Eric, Derek, just want to shoot you a quick email, let you know I'm thinking about you in the transaction, and make sure if you have any concerns or questions during the process that you give me a call. Here's the number you can reach me. Another 10 days later, still working on your transaction. Don't forget to call me. Things are moving along. So creating some generic autoresponders that you can set up over, let's say, a 30 or 45-day period, so that way they're just being touched by you, that they're hearing from you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
Let me see. Number three, what are your thoughts on requiring every buyer who submits an offer on my listings to also get a pre-approval from your preferred vendor, because you're concerned that that the pre-commitment or the pre-approval that they might have may not be a very good one if it's not somebody that you know. Is that right?
Yeah, I had a deal blow up this week because a lender didn't do his job. I guess it didn't come out in his initial review that the buyer at some point had several bankruptcies and a couple of judgments on his credit report from several years back, and it did not allow them to pass their underwriting. And if he would have done, I guess, probably like a desktop underwrite at the very beginning, I think it would have solved the issue, but he just was an idiot. So I guess that's where the question's coming from.
Yeah, and the other question you had, which kind of relates to the same thing about trying to get buyers to come into the office, I want to read this because I want everybody to hear this. I think this is real important. I need help getting buyers motivated. I had several qualified buyers call me off the signs on my listings. I try to invite them into my office to narrow down the list for me to show them. However, they've been getting a lot of pushback from the buyers. They don't want to meet you at the office. They want to meet you at the property. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Derek, here's my theory with buyers and what I firmly believe, is that the tail should not wag the dog. You know, the buyers, when they call you and you have the listing, you have to set your parameters on how you're willing to work. And if they are not willing to work with you that way, then you don't have to work with them. That's fine. Then they can go work with some other agent, okay? So if you set a criteria that you need to, that's fine if a buyer has a pre-approval from another lender, but they have to talk to your lender first before you show them property. I don't think that's unreasonable in this market because the banks are still holding back money. They're still not, it's still very hard for a buyer to get a loan in today's market. I think it's starting to loosen up a bit, but it's still not what it used to be a few years ago. So I think given that that's the market we're currently in, for you to say to a buyer, before I show you anything, you've got to make this phone call to this lender, and then he can give me the green light that we can work together. And if they're not willing to do that, then don't work with them. That's one. But again, Derek, you have to set your parameters, and you should stick with it. The other option is you can show them some property, and before they put an offer in on a deal, so let's say you take them out and you show them 5-7 houses. They like one of those. They want to write a contract. Say, that's fine, but I can't present this contract until you've talked to my lender and that I get a pre-commitment from them. Now, that's going to slow it down for 24, 48 hours, not to mention the fact that the house that they do like, if it's a shiny penny and it sells, then they lost it. So, you know, you've got to make a decision on which way to go, okay? The other thing on that, too, is as far as I'm getting into your office, it's the same thing. You should get the buyer. The only way you can create motivation for a buyer gang is they have to come into your office. You need to sit down with them and do a buyer presentation and show them some of the slides that I post on the website every month for you. That's either for buyers or sellers, but in this case for the buyers, showing them why now is such a great time to buy. You know, we know the interest rates are low. We know that prices are low. Inventory is starting to shrink, which means that there's going to be fewer houses for a buyer to choose from. But what you need to do is, like on a listing appointment, you're trying to convince the homeowner to list with you or list with a realtor because that's in their best interest. The same thing is true with a buyer. When a buyer first calls you and you're meeting them for the first time, you don't want to just show property because you're not prepping the buyer correctly emotionally. Most buyers are window shopping. What you need to do is get them into the office so you can sit down and do a buyer presentation that shows them a little bit about you, a little bit about your company, and then the third part of that conversation is showing them some quotes or stats or articles, whatever, that shows them, you know what, now is the best time to buy for a buyer. Now you're going to show them the properties. They're going to be more motivated. That's a very important piece. Derek, do you have any questions about what I'm saying here?
No.
Did that handle it for you, buddy, or?
I'm sorry, excuse me?
Did I help you? Did that answer your questions?
Yeah, it did.
Okay. A lot? Okay, good. All right. Well, thanks, Derek. I appreciate you calling in every time and sending me the emails. You're doing a great job. All right, now.
Okay. One more thing. Carol,
what's that, Derek?
I was about to say, can I just say one more thing? I just wanted to send out an encouragement to that one lady that was working part-time. Daryl knows exactly what he's talking about, and I'm definitely, the only reason why I'm in this business is because of him at this point. I started with him probably about the beginning of this year, and I got laid off from my job. And, I mean, I'm doing pretty decently right now. I'm probably going to be hitting like the $3 million or $4 million sales volume mark, and it's all because of Daryl. So just do what he says to do, and it's going to work. That's it.
All right, Derek. Well, that was very nice. Thank you, and I feel like I have to send you a check now for that. Well, I'm glad your life's working. I'm very happy to hear from a breakdown of being laid off that you're doing okay, or you're doing better than okay. So thanks for that, Derek. Okay, now, listen, we got 6 minutes left on the call. Jay had asked me, and I'm going to burn through this too, and when I say burn through it, I said that a couple of times. It's only because I'm trying to make sure I get everybody taken care of on this call. And Jay's question, last month on the conference call, let me read you his email. He said, at the end of the last seminar call, you started to explain about your girlfriend's marketing campaign to introduce herself to a new market, but a dropped caller came back on the line, so you never discussed for newbies or agents seeking to let the world know they exist. What do you recommend? Jay, are you on the call? And if you are, hit star 6 one time. And,
yes, sir.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Now, and by the way, I just need to say this. You know, when I read your email, it said my girlfriend's marketing campaign. I was like, you know what? The girlfriend doesn't explain this woman. She's like the love of my life. The girlfriend is even less than who she is. She's like definitely like, I'd say the second most important person in my life, second to my son. So, but I don't know why I need to say that. I just felt it. So anyway, Jay, her name's April, by the way. So here's what I did with April. I sat her down. I created this simple plan. Now, this is just like a beginner's plan. There's no earth-shattering stuff, but I'm going to rattle it off because you asked me to. Okay, Jay?
Yes, sir.
And if you have any questions, you can ask me. Number one is I told her to set up for Red X. Red X is a company that helps give you listing leads when it comes to FSBOs and expireds. Then the second thing that I told her to do was to set up an Evernote account. What Evernote is this online service where whenever you April likes to do a lot of marketing, she's very tech savvy. So she's on the website, she's on Facebook, she's out there searching new technology for her business, and Evernote is a great software that captures when you're on the website. I don't want to talk about Evernote. It's I use it, she's now using it. If you just Google it, you'll learn more about it. So that's Evernote. Number three, I told her to get open house signs to hang up for her open houses. Now, these signs, I feel like I don't even have enough time to talk about them. But what I did as an agent and as a manager, we had signs that were the size of a poster board pre-printed that said open house. It was black lettering on yellow stock. And we would take a staple gun, which was in, they make staple guns that are like a hammer, and we would hammer on telephone poles. Wherever we would see garage sale signs, sometimes people put them on things other than poles, but we would actually put a fluorescent arrow and direct people to the open house. The policy, when I managed, was a minimum of 10 of these had to go out. So when I say open house signs, and I'm very strong, it's number three on the list, because I know in the community that she's going to start to break into, she's going to do open houses for her broker or for other agents' listings in that office. And this will be a way for her to know the market, meet people in the market, get some buyers. Even though I want her, you know, like every student I teach, to be a listing agent, this is a way for her to start building her business and get familiar with the market. The open house signs that are metal that you put on the ground, you can't see them when you're driving 50 miles an hour down a road until you're right on top of it, and then it's too late. You're already past it. So these signs are pre-printed. They're big. You hang them up above your head so people can see it like 50 yards away. It becomes eye level. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing I told her, of course, tour office listings. Then to come up with a slogan, get a new photo, get new business cards, create an image. Make sure that she has top producer or market leader. I'm not sure either one. She's going to decide what she likes, which is a contact management. Then I told her advertise and doing mailings. The church newspaper, there's people that really do use those church papers or newsletters or synagogues or whatever. In the back you can advertise. Find a mailing house that will manage her mailings for her. Put together a mailing list and then have a series of letters about, there's three letters that I teach on just listed, just sold letters. So there are three letters. Let me make a note. I'm going to put those three letters on the Power Program website. Give me a second, Jay. It's going to be under classroom, three farm letters. So I'll put that up there for you, Jay, so you can see the letters that I'm talking about. Advertising the local penny savers that she has some kind of report, or she has the seller success system, call for more information, or the seller's edge program. What the seller success system is basically her listing appointment, but she's going to advertise it saying, hey, if you're looking to sell your house, call me now so I can share with you my seller success system. This is a system designed to help you sell your house in today's market with the least amount of aggravation. So when people call on that, she'll basically come over and share the seller success system, which, like I said, is her listing appointment, to start using the term neighborhood market report as opposed to CMAs, create a mailing list and have work with the mailing house to send out those letters, do neighborhood open houses for any listings that are new into the office, because the office she's working in, they let the agents work off of each other's listings. I told her to look through the Power Agent magazine that's on the Power Program website of all the past 12 months, because there's a, I don't want to curse, but there is a, there is so much on the Power Program website. There is so much material there for you guys to help build your business. It's a shame if you don't access it. You just look at the archives. The problem is it's going to take you a lot of time because I put so much material on there, and every month there's new stuff. And then create special reports. She's also working on her social media marketing plan, which is creating a website for the community. We've secured for her 24689 different domain names for the town that she's going to be working in. So she's going to have a Facebook page, a community website. Let's see. And that's just the first, you know, 60 days to-do list that I created for her, Jay. So did that answer your question?
Yep, very helpful.
All right, great. All right, gang, so listen, it's 12 o'clock. We're past our – it's actually 1 minute after 12. So I hope this call was helpful for you all. Now, listen, here's what I want to tell you before you get off the call. Number one, you know, we covered a lot on this call, and the website has a lot. When we have so much, we can get easily confused and overwhelmed as to where do I start. And, you know, here's what I can tell you. Just if every month you just implement two or three things that we cover on the call or on the in the magazine. And by the way, I didn't get to the magazine this month. This magazine has some really awesome, awesome stuff. Please look at the magazine. And what you do is just print out one or two pages, implement it into your business. So don't try and do everything that I tell you. That's number one. Number two is, please focus on building listing inventory for the next 45 days. Once we go into the cold weather, the holidays, some of you don't ever have cold weather, but once we get to the holidays, we're going to have more serious buyers coming out versus the lookers, so you want to have good listings out there that are priced to sell. The third thing is, don't forget, this is very, very, very important, this last thing I'm going to share with you, and that is this. We don't just do real estate. We don't just help people buy and sell. We actually help people get to their next level in their life. We actually make a huge contribution to the transformation of people's lives. So when you go out there and you help people, you put them together, you're actually contributing to people's lives. You're helping people. You're helping children. So the more people that you go out there and put together, whether it's selling or buying a house, you're making a huge difference in them. And so the more people you help, the more money you make. And don't ever forget to keep smiling, okay? That's very important. Be happy in your life because we're only here for a short period of time. So make sure you're enjoying your life because that's all that really matters. All right, God bless you guys. Thanks for calling in. Go out there, knock them alive. Keep smiling. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl.